intentional, never failing. I know that
all right, and praise God. Welcome to Eve's Corner. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell. I am your host, and thank you so much for joining on today. Our subject for today is on overcoming negative emotions. And I will tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been a Christian, what your interests are, what part of the world you live, your age, height, social security number, I assure you that you will have to deal with some type of negative emotion somewhere along the way during your journey. So hopefully this will be an encouraging word for you on today, because it's something that we all go through. We just have to kind of know how to deal with it, right? So listen, if you want to call in and talk to me today, that number is 888-627-6008. Again, the number to call in to talk to me to give a testimony. If you have a comment, that number is 888-627-6008. And just so that you know, the number did change, and I know that I put the phone number out. If you want to listen via phone, that number is 605-475-1600. If you want to contact some of your friends or family members that you don't think may have the updated information, please do so. And I'll give you a moment again. That's 605-475-1600. And I'm on station one. Of course, they can always check out the show via the website at bbs.com. But there were some changes. So I want you guys to have that information and contact anyone that you may need to. So while you're doing that, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, Lord, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for how you've watched over us, and Lord, for how you've kept us. We pray now, God, for those who are listening who may be sick or afflicted. We pray now, pray God, for those who are hospitalized. We pray, God, for those who are just depressed on today, or are discouraged, or just have some things on their mind, God. We come against that spirit of worry in the name of Jesus. We pray now, God, that you heal the sick, deliver those that need to be set free. Just move by your spirit, God. Bless everyone that is listening on today, oh God, in a special way. I speak favor upon their lives right now in the name of Jesus. I pray now, God, that your word come forth on today with clarity and understanding. Let your people be able to receive the word, God. Let it fall on good ground. Let it be nourishment for their spiritual bodies. In the name of Jesus, we pray now, Lord, that you speak to me and through me. Amen. All right. So back to where we were with overcoming negative emotions. We're going to be looking at the scripture on, of course, the flesh, looking at Galatians, the fifth chapter. I'll give you some time to get there. That's Galatians, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to be looking at the Amplified version, just because that one reads a little bit more clearly, and I want to make sure that in all our getting, we get an understanding. So again, that's Galatians, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to actually start around, let's go ahead and start at 16, because I want to make sure that we understand the entirety. Okay, so if you're with me, the Bible reads, "But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him and be responsive to His guidance, and then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever the good things are that you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility or a lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and you guys know we talk about this all the time, the fruit of the Spirit, the results of the presence of God within us is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, and inner peace, patience, love, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So we've read verses 16 through 23. Now, having said that, as I stated before, having to deal with our human flesh, because we're challenged from day to day, this is a battle basically of our spirit man versus our natural man. So having said that, knowing that we're human, along with these things that we deal with in the spirit, it affects our emotions. Why is that? Because it affects our thoughts. Most of the things that affect your thoughts also affect your emotions. Now, because we are triune beings, that means that we're threefold. That means we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. That's our mind, our heart, and this natural flesh that we live in that houses our spirit man. Looking at what Paul says to the Galatians, he said that he has to fight on a regular basis to even keep his spirit under. So now that's found in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27 in the ESV version. He says he has to discipline his body and keep it under control. Least after preaching to everybody else, I myself should be disqualified. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, for those of you who are not in the fivefold ministry, it does not necessarily mean that you have to be a preacher to have this battle. Preaching as in maybe you're a parent and you tell your children on a regular basis not to do certain things. We may tell our children, just do as I say, don't do as I do, because we have these habits, but that's not what we're supposed to be doing. That's a battle of what you actually say versus what you actually do. We tell our children, don't lie. But then when bill collectors call, we tell them to lie for us or tell them, oh, just say I'm not here. I know some of y'all are wondering, like, yeah, she's right. We tell our children, don't curse or don't use bad words. But then they see you do it or they hear you do it. Even if you slip and say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Somewhere along the way, it's in there. We tell our children, don't drink or smoke. But we have a full bar at our homes. And then we tell them not to do certain things. Sometimes they get their behaviors from us. If we're somebody who's always in the store and feels a need to go off on everybody or tell everybody about themselves, it's a chance, it's a likelihood that they go to school and they do the same things with their friends. So it's one of those things that we have to think about. It's not just something that we need to talk about, but it's something that we actually need to do. So we're going to talk about how we actually keep that natural man under subjection. There are several ways to do that. But before I move on, I see that we already have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you? Who do we have on the line?
That's Mr. Glenn, Johnny Glenn.
Hey, Johnny Glenn. How you doing?
Okay, I'm doing just fine. I'm good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you enjoying the show?
I am, and you're talking about this human nature and this sin nature. And I understand, just that you said that God has nothing to do with the flesh, that it won't enter into heaven. And
absolutely.
I think you're doing a good job.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling in. Did you have another comment? Were you going to say something else?
No, I'm just sitting here and listening to you and listening to what you say, and I just... in Galatians, which, and I just was understanding what you were saying, and I think you, like you were saying, you can't do first, it's not acceptable in God's sight.
Absolutely.
And
stay
prayed up, and stay prayed up, and just stay in the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for calling and making your comment on today. And Mr. Glenn is very right. One of the things that we have to do is stay prayed up. Some of the other things that we do as Christians, not just praying, but the Bible says that some things only come out by fasting and prayer, is if we go ahead and deny that flesh.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. That's right. Well, I appreciate you calling in today. But, were you going to make another comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to just tell you, just keep up good work and just keep walking on the word.
Amen.
And keep your eyes on God.
Amen.
And you'll be just
fine. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's always good to get an encouraging word.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, you go ahead and I'll be listening to you.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if anybody else wants to call in, again, that number is 888-627-6008. If you want to make a comment, again, that number is 888-627-6008. Thank you so much for Brother Glenn calling in on today. So we were talking about how it is that we continue to keep that flesh under. So one of the ways we do that is by fasting and prayer. And I know when Dr. Dotson called in a few weeks ago, one of the things that we talked about is fasting and how we have to keep our bodies subject to the word of God. So you don't just fast and go without food, but you also pray. You still get up and wash your face like you normally would and go about your day as you normally would. But you have to remain in prayer throughout the day. You have to keep your mind focused on God. And the way that you would do that is by staying in the Word of God. For other people, one of the ways that we keep ourselves subject to the Spirit rather than our flesh is to avoid certain people, places, and things. Now, you know, for some people, it's like, well, I don't have to not go anywhere and this and that, you know, but for some of us, we do. You know, for some of us, we can't go around the same old friends and even the same family members sometimes. If you know that it's going to make you weak and you're going to be tempted to get in your flesh or to want to do some things that are ungodly, some of the things that we talked about in Galatians, the fifth chapter, then that's what you need to do. If you need to avoid, you know, going to those old hangouts, you know, if you know, for instance, that you have a problem with drinking, the last place that you need to be is sitting in a bar. And I don't care how strong you think you are. It's just not a good idea. If it's for some of you, you know, there are certain people, you know, you may get with that certain friend that you might say, well, you know, I quit drinking, and you go and hang around, you know, that certain buddy. You know, and you had no intentions of drinking, you get around that same buddy, by the time they get through drinking and cursing and smoking and telling tall tales, before the night is out, you'll be sitting there drinking and smoking and cursing and telling tall tales. The only reason for a Christian to go to hang around all of that is if you're going to give them a word or if you're going to try to pull them out of those places. But to go and just sit there and be absorbed by all of those things, the likelihood is it's going to make you weak. And I'm not saying that's the case for everybody, but for most of us, you know, before you know it, if you sit around enough people cursing and using profanity or even using slang or improper grammar, if you'll notice that you'll start to pick up those things. You know, it's just easy to do. That's why sometimes we protect our kids from things and tell them, oh, no, I don't want you to hang around those friends. Oh, no, I don't want you to go those places. You know, it's not because you necessarily think that you have a child who is disobedient, but you don't want them to be tainted by some of those other people who may be doing those things, and they may not know how to handle those situations, you know, especially with our daughters. A lot of times they're like, oh, mom, you know, well, he's a nice boy or he's a nice guy, you know, but there are still certain situations that you wouldn't put yourself in as a young lady. And the same thing for the brothers. You know, you're waiting on God to send you a wife. The last thing you want to do is be caught up somewhere sitting in the dark over at Sister Susie's house, watching movies with candles lit. You know, all of a sudden, Sister Susie might not be thinking godly thoughts, you know, so it happens for the brothers just as well as it does for the women. But again, you know, for some of us, like I said, we have to avoid some people, some places, and some things. One of the things about the flesh is that we need to have an awareness that it exists. You know, sometimes we walk around like we don't even realize or you know, it couldn't happen to us or this conversation doesn't involve us. But like I said, it happens to all of us. It can happen to all of us, but we have to be aware to make sure, first of all, that we know what we're dealing with, that we know how to handle it, and then we move away from it. You know, we're tempted all the time. And I don't know if it was because I had to bring this word today, but I had an instance even this morning with going over to the car dealership. Customer service just wasn't all that great, to say the least. But, you know, it was from the phone conversation to the time I got there, to the moment they handed me my keys, to the moment I actually pulled off the lot. It was very poor customer service. And I had to ask myself, like, okay, Lord, now they tested me. You know, I was almost looking around for a candid camera or checking to see what's that show if I was being pumped, because clearly I couldn't figure out, like, why are they acting like this? I'm here for service. And it was poor, like I said, to say the least. So, you know, sometimes, you know, if I had been walking in the flesh, then back in the day, they might have got a few choice words, you know, or at least somebody being pulled to the side saying, what is your problem? You know, but when you recognize and you can see what it is, and the enemy trying to tempt you by using somebody else so that you'll get in your flesh, and then they'll be saying, mm-hmm, yeah, I thought she was a Christian. Mm-hmm, yeah, I thought she was this or that, because that is what they do. You know, once you go ahead and come out of the box, then they're looking at you cross-eyed and saying, now, see, I knew she wasn't. Now, see, I knew he wasn't. So the last thing I'm going to allow you to do is make me do anything. You can't make me angry. I won't allow you to make me sad. I won't allow you to make me feel any kind of way that I don't choose to. It's a choice for us. Some people use the excuse and say, well, that's just who I am. You know, I'm just real. I just tell it like it is. No, that's your flesh. Because as we just read over in Galatians, the 5th chapter, that the very essence of being a Christian, the fruit of the Spirit, the main characteristic is love. So just being who you are doesn't make you go off on everybody. Just being who you are doesn't make you want to curse people out. Just being who you are doesn't make you want to be involved in sexual sin. You have to make the decision not to walk in your flesh. So now, looking back at the scriptures, Galatians 5:16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's very simple. Walk in the Spirit. You need to try to stay there, maintain. Don't just go over and visit every now and then, but actually walk in the Spirit. And again, the Spirit and the flesh oppose each other. So you have to remember, that's what it's supposed to do. This is in the Word of God. Your spirit man may tell you to fast. Your flesh is going to say, girl, you better go on and eat that sandwich. Your spirit man is going to tell you to watch and pray. Your flesh is going to say, now you've been working all day, man. You better go on and get a nap. Think about it. Your spirit man may want to read the Bible. Your flesh will drop off to sleep the moment you do. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Call in and let me know how you feel about the subject. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. You guys have to remember, this is a talk show, so I do want to hear from you. Now, moving on, because there are opposites, you have to know that you can't do both at the same time. You can't be in the Spirit and be in the flesh, but you can do like Peter and start out in the Spirit, bounce over to the flesh, want to jump on somebody, and then try to come back over. But that's not what we want you to do. We want you to walk, maintain, stay there. So walking in the Spirit begins first with a renewed mind. We talk often about this scripture as well. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. From Philippians 2:5. You have to let this mind be in you. You have to stop and think about the things that you're doing and allow your mindset to be like that of Christ. So now, in order to think like Jesus and being Christ-like, that means that we have to make some decisions that will determine how we live. Jesus had a made-up mind the moment he came from heaven down to earth, that he was here to do the will of the Father. And that's what we have to do. We have to make up our minds, put on the mind of Christ, and make the decision to do the will of God. We know all the wrong things that are out there. We know all the things that are off to the left that we could be doing, because everybody has a past and everybody's got some skeletons in their closet. It's not our place to point out everybody else's skeletons, but just to understand, we all have some skeletons. We all have some things that we don't announce at testimony time when we're at the church. Let's just be clear. But make up your mind. Whatever you have done, you can move forward with the mind of Christ, right now, today, at this very moment, just make a decision. Make up your mind that your flesh and your emotions will not lead you. Make up your mind that your flesh will not control you. Make up your mind that your flesh won't control your day. Your emotions shouldn't have anything to do with whether or not you pay your bills today. Your emotions shouldn't have anything to do with whether or not you go to school or to work today. Your emotions shouldn't have anything to do with whether or not you love your spouse on today. That's walking in the flesh. If you change up depending on how you feel, well, I'll love him tomorrow because it's Sunday, but today I ain't studying him. I ain't cooking. I ain't doing nothing. He can clean up himself. Come on now. Y'all know what happens. But because your thoughts can create your emotions, again, you need to be thinking like Jesus. Because your thoughts can get you in trouble spiritually as well as naturally. Think about it. If you're always walking around in your flesh and going off on people, you might walk up on somebody else who's also in their flesh. Now you're out in the street brawling and end up in jail. For what? Because you couldn't control yourself. What's another reason? It can also affect your job. If you're on your job and talking to customers crazy and mess around and talk to your boss crazy, running off at the mouth may cost you a job. Think about it. That was your flesh, and all you had to do was just do what you were supposed to do. What are the other reasons? Well, your flesh can also cause you to end up lonely. Who wants to be around somebody that's always negative? Who wants to be around somebody that's always sad and depressed? Who wants to be around somebody that's an emotional wreck and you don't know if they're coming or going? Usually you end up by yourself. So it's something else to think about. If you want to have a mate, you might want to think about how you act, your emotions, your behaviors, the words that you say to people. You might want to think about those things. Somebody who's crying or complaining all day long, nobody's really going to hang out with you except somebody else that's crying and complaining. Because usually it's two peas in a pod hanging out together. Because those two people agree so they can walk together. But after a while, do you know that you'll end up getting rid of that person because you get sick of their misery and they get sick of yours? You'll be disagreeing about who's more miserable. Well, no, you started this conversation. No, this is on you. But I am telling you, usually, if you're a person who is always in your flesh and no one knows if you're hot or cold, up or down, in or out today, you'll end up by yourself. So then, what was the mind of Christ? Jesus was in agreement with the Father about his will for his life. He was in agreement with the Father to lay down his own life. He put down his glory and came down to earth as a man, as a servant. Now here he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he made a decision to lay down his life just for us. He sought to minister rather than be ministered to. And, you know, that's one of the things sometimes when we get into the church and we have a title, we can never forget and get in our flesh and decide, no, I'm here to be served. No, you are here to serve. When you walk into the body of Christ, you are there to make an addition to the body, not to take, but to give what thus saith the Lord. So whether that means taking out trash, whether that means you're in the kitchen cooking, whether that means you're cleaning toilets, cutting the grass, whatever it is that the Lord has said that needs to be done at that time, we should be willing to do it. Again, not walking in our flesh, but walking in the spirit, because the spirit man will say, oh, this is something that needs to be done. And we can do it earnestly and fervently and do it well with joy. Jesus was about the Father's business. He was about the will of God rather than his own will. Everything that he said and everything that he did came from God, even in his decision to be baptized. It's what the word of God said was going to happen. It had already been prophesied. The very essence of Jesus's character was love. Although he came down in the flesh, he was able to be emotional, even when he went to the cross. So we know where he had to suffer. And he said, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me, because he was still concerned about the will of the Lord. But he said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not about how we feel right now, saints. It's about the will of God in our lives. doing the will of God, walking in the will of God, and remaining in the will of God. We have to know what that will of God is for our lives, though. We have to know what it is that God wants from us and what it is that God expects from us. And our lives were hinged on Jesus staying on that cross. So I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he did. Because he stayed on that cross, because he hung in there and bled and died and got up again, we have the opportunity for eternal life. All because it was more important to him to do the will of the Father than it was to do what he felt like at the time. Amen. I see that we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, caller. Who do we have on the line today?
This is Gladys Dotson. God bless you, Prophetess Campbell. Good to be with you.
Amen, Dr. Dotson. Glad you're calling in today. How's everything going? You have a comment for us?
I just want to always just share with you. I'm so blessed by your ministering of the word today.
Amen.
I just want to also just add to what you're saying is this is an excellent topic, although all of them are. But kind of elaborating on, just thinking back on what you're saying, is that we have to be mindful that we are God's handiwork. We are his workmanship.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, so we're not just happenstance. We anybody that has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Jesus Christ, we have a new life with Christ. So going back to what you're saying about the difference between the works of the flesh or the work of the spirit. So now that we are born again, we have been given a new humanity in Christ. See, before, we didn't have that ability to have a better conduct, you know, that you're speaking about. We didn't have the ability to even have a better conduct. And we don't have it until we have accepted Jesus Christ and are born again. But the good thing is, once we have accepted him, then he has also, that means we are also accepted by him. Mm-hmm. We are accepted in the beloved.
That's right.
So a lot of times we got these negative emotions going on, even not just against other people all the time, but against our own selves that some kind of reason or some kind of way it got placed there in the emotional realm, in the soul realm. So we this is a great topic, but what we just got to keep remembering as Christians is that we don't have to, like you said, accept those negative emotions and negative thoughts. We are three-part beings. Mm-hmm. We are a spirit being. We are spirit. We got a mind, will, and emotion. But because we have accepted Jesus, we got the new nature now. And the new nature enables us to do exactly what you're saying. Go with the new. Don't stay with the old. Go with the new. The new man. Go with the new man, Christ Jesus. We got the believer in Christ has a new nature in Christ. The believer has a new life in Christ. We just got to renew our mind with the word of God to feed that spirit man, so the soul man don't keep being fed and addressing all those things that you know that you're speaking about in the flesh. Because if whatever which one you feed, that's the one that's going to be healthier. So we need to make sure we are feeding the spirit man, not the soul man. We have a soul. We can't, you know, God gave us an intellect. He made us that way. But he also gave us a new way of living. He gave us a new way of thinking as well, because if we think on his word and what he says and where he says it operates, we won't just be limited to what our intellect or what somebody else says it should be, the way it should operate, you know, whatever the operation is. Like you said, it could be at the car dealership. It could be school work. It could be like I said, marriage, children, whatever. You know, we know the teenagers deal with issues, but all these things are gonna come. But addressing what, you know, like the new nature, we have to make sure that we are not we're experiencing the better nature, the better way, the way Christ has ordained it, and not trying to figure out a way. We don't have to figure it out, because it's already, Jesus said the work is already finished. And so all we got to do is abide by the guidelines of the work that he has already established and stop trying to figure it out.
That's right. That's right. If we would just do what he said.
Amen. And stop trying to figure out life. You know, we don't have to figure out, we can learn, you know, we are supposed to always learn and grow. But some of these things we have to switch off, you know. So, because like you said, some of these things don't go with me. This don't belong to me. Wait, hold up. This don't belong to me. This is not mine. Where did this come from today? And just like you said, the car dealership, I'm not fitting to get frustrated, because later on you're fitting to be on the air. So enemy will find anything to throw you off guard before you get to the destination or where you have to go. So we need to make sure that we're not letting the emotional side of us, and not that we don't have good emotions. You know, love is a good emotion, but we want to make sure that we are switching off the negative emotions. And that's what I'm understanding, you know, from you today, that we need to switch off these negative, because negative will only breed more negative.
Absolutely.
So when are you going to come out of it? So you got to switch it off somewhere. You got to make it, like you said, make a decision. It's in your own. You got to decide to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You got to decide that I'm not going to do this today. You got to decide I am going to do this today. If it's a thing, you got to make a decision one way or the other, because God left Adam and Eve in the garden with a choice, to make a choice. The choice Adam made was the wrong choice, and that's why he went and hid himself. Because he had a negative thought behind what he had done. And that happens a lot of times. We got negative behind, I've done this, so I messed up. So I can't be, you know, so they're not going to think this good about me. So they must be thinking this about, no, they're not thinking anything. You changed the thought pattern yourself. Mm-hmm. You changed it. Let your conscience be your guide. And by your good moral teaching, whatever it is, you changed the thought. And this is not just addressed to young people either. You know, older people got to, you say all the time, you got to address somebody, you got to change some of these patterns. I know you have some old callers.
You're fine. Stay right there. Stay on the line. But you're right in that you spoke about the younger people and the older people, because one of the things that seems to happen as we get older and we say, oh, no, I'm just who I am. Or, you know, we make excuses for with young people. We kind of address their behaviors right away. But with older people, we make excuses. You know, we say, well, you don't know what I've been through, or, you know, you're just walking around bitter and angry and nobody knows what's wrong with you. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can even look at you almost because, you know, even when we become mature in number or mature in age, we're not always mature spiritually, because when we are more mature spiritually and we have grown up in the word, so to speak, and we understand, OK, now this is my flesh. So I don't need to act like this, or this is my flesh. I don't normally talk like this. Like you said, this doesn't belong to me. This is not my norm. And you may have to go back and check yourself to say, okay, now when and how did I allow this bitterness to come in? What was it? And then kill it at the root. You know, go back and say, okay, this came in when this happened, or I went through this change, or this person did or said this to me. Because we have to learn, in order to be effective as Christians and for us to be an example in the light that we are supposed to be, we have to be mature enough to not let every little thing get to us, because somebody's watching us.
That's right.
So even as adults, like I said, it's not just about the children or the teenagers. And you know, I know some people who, you know, are foolish in their 60s and may not be, you know, a 20-year-old. You expect certain things to be some folks, you know, in their 20s and, you know, riding around, speeding down the highway, doing crazy things. But there are some people in their 60s, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, own up for that matter, that may do some foolish things, you know, and it's because we don't always consult the Lord before we do things and pay attention to the effects of some of the things and some of the people around us or some of the places, like I said, that we hang out. You know, we have to be cognizant of all of those activities because they do affect us spiritually. And they can affect us in a positive way, and they can affect us in a negative way if we allow it. But like you said, once we have that ability to be able to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, as accepting Jesus as our personal Savior and coming into the kingdom of God, especially, you know, once you've been baptized and filled with His Spirit, then we should be able to just walk in the Spirit, but it's something that has to be maintained on a regular basis. It's not just poof, I'm a Christian, here it is, I've arrived, but it is something that we have to maintain on a regular basis. It's ongoing. So that's why the Bible says walk in the Spirit, not you have walked in the Spirit, but walk as in present tense every day. When I read it again tomorrow, walk in the Spirit. When I read it again the day after, walk in the Spirit. It's not going to change. It's present tense. Amen, okay. Dr. Dotson. So we appreciate you calling in on today. Just stand by, hang out with us if you have some time.
Amen.
Going back to Galatians, the fifth chapter, I want to make sure that we understand exactly what all of these words mean. So if you have some babies, you know, you may want to clear the room for just a moment, because I want us to understand again about Galatians, the fifth chapter, and exactly what some of these sins are, because it seems that somewhere along the way, we've forgotten some things. So I want to make sure that we get clarity in what it is that we are hearing on today. And it's not just words just crossing our ears, but we actually know what it means. So looking down around the 19th verse, the Bible starts to talk about some sexual sins. Now, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, it even mentions orgies. These are sexual practices that are anything outside of the natural order of the physical union between one man and one woman. Now, I hope that I don't lose any listeners, but the word of God speaks for itself. This includes homosexuality, bestiality, promiscuity, adultery, fornication, inbreeding, that means going with relatives, or any involvement of the sexual organs that are not between two normal consenting adults. That means that if you're messing with somebody that you know has some mental issues going on where they cannot consent to all things for themselves, then that's what this is talking about. But it has to be between two normal consenting adults, which violates the one flesh character of marriage, because that is what God ordained in the first place. So just to get those clear and just to make sure that we have an understanding. But the truth will make you free. And so a lot of times we don't know what the truth of God's word is, but God's word is the truth. So just for understanding again, the sexual sins alone are things that sometimes people think, well, nobody knows about the things going on in my closet or nobody knows about the things that I've been involved in. But God knows. And if that's something that you've gotten involved in any of those areas, it's something you need to come out of to be able to walk upright before God. God's word is the truth. And you need to hear this. Matthew 5 and 28 says that it's also a sin to lust after a woman. Brothers, if you're looking at a woman walking down the street and you're thinking all kind of lustful, ungodly thoughts about her, whether she's married or whether she's single, that's a sin because your mind has already sinned. So because of the motivation of the believer, our thoughts should always be pure. Dr. Dotson, did you want to comment on any of those or you want me to move on? Okay, sounds like I may have lost Dr. Dotson, but that's all right.
Yes,
maybe she'll, are you there? Okay. Did you want to comment on any of those before I move on to the next group?
I am so sorry, but my call got interrupted, but okay. I'm back with you. And just to, if you want to continue on, I'll just listen for a few minutes.
Okay. Amen. Amen. So callers, you can still call in to give your comment. That number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008 if you'd also like to comment. Now, let's move on to the next group. Idolatry. This is the worship of any idols. If you have put anything or any person before God, then that's sin. Idolatry is a work of the flesh. Sorcery is the use of magic, enchantment, or witchcraft. Incantations. This is a work of the flesh. Hostility. Sounds like I'm having an issue on the line. I hope that everybody can hear me clearly. We may be having some technical difficulties, but please let me know if you guys are having some issues with hearing. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. I want to make sure that you guys hear me clearly because I want you to get this word. So hostility. Unfriendliness, opposition, conflict, people out fighting all the time, people who are just hateful. This is a work of the flesh. Strife, someone who is angry or bitter, in disagreement, someone who's just totally disagreeable all the time over fundamental issues. This is a work of the flesh. Jealousy is a work of the flesh. Jealousy causes is resentment against another person's success, or maybe just against who they are. Fits of anger. Now, Ephesians 4 and 26 tells us to be angry, but sin not, because we know that anger will come up from time to time, but we're not supposed to just walk around angry all the time. James 1 and 19 said, let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. That means that, you know, there may be some opportunities where somebody tries you or where they may want you to show out. But you have to remember, okay, I'm going to listen. I'm not going to yell and be quick to go off, but I'm going to be slow, calm. The Bible says a soft tongue will turn away wrath. But anger is just a strong feeling of annoyance or displeasure or hostility. Now, we all know and have been there before. Disputes or disagreements, arguments, debates. Dissensions means disagreement that leads to discord. So if you have some family members that you stop talking to, you might want to fix that, because that's a work of the flesh. Factions, that's cliques. People who are grouped off in the church, people who are grouped off in the classroom. That's a clique. That's a work of the flesh. When you separate other people from yourself because, okay, these are all the brown-eyed people over here, and these are all the blue-eyed people over here, and these are the people with blonde hair over here, and so we should all stick together because we all look alike. No, that's a work of the flesh. Envy is feelings of discontented longing for someone else's belongings or possessions or even their qualities. I wish I was short like her. I wish my hair was longer like hers. Drunkenness. This is talking about drinking in excess, a loss of control of one's senses or actions. Riotous behavior, where we just can't take you anywhere. You've got to show out everywhere we go. You don't know how to talk. You don't know how to act. You know, you go out to eat and the waiter comes to the table and you have something smart to say. You can't say thank you. You're calling them hey and they've told you their name. Riotous behavior. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to the people who are with you, and you should be embarrassed. But this is the description of these works of the flesh. Now, I want to make sure that we all have an understanding then. You know, breaking down those things gives us a better understanding. And we have to know that we replace these things with the fruit of the Spirit, which the word lists for us very clearly. I do see that we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
My name is Carrie Spinnis, and I'm calling from Preston, Mississippi. And I'm enjoying your message today, and also from Dr. Dotson. I just wanted to say this is a great subject. the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when we have the fruit of the Spirit, we can live free. And today, you have demonstrating a fresh look at the fruit of the Spirit. And I know that when we have the fruit of the Spirit, we suppose also we have love, and love is one is the greatest. But we also have joy. You know,
absolutely.
When we can live with the fruit of the Spirit and have it in our heart and stand on God's word, we have joy, we have peace, mm-hmm. and long-suffering. We'll be able to deal with that situation. Gentleness. You know, some people think when you're gentle, you are just, you may be weak. The
mm-hmm.
goodness
a push
may
over.
Be weak. But, mm-hmm. yes, but we know that when we have all of these qualities and the and also we have to have faith because, mm-hmm. like you say, the flesh will have you, you know, in negativity mode. And then, but you're like, no, 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 negativity. And someone called me up and gave me this word one day, say, because, you know, tell negativity that meets between your mind to go somewhere and sit down. Because negativity can really just rule you, you know. Mm-hmm. You talk to people, and everything they say is negative. So what I do, I pray for them. Lord, give them a new mind, you know. Give them joy. Give them peace. But today, listening at you and Dr. Dawson, it gave me a fresh look at the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm enjoying your ministry every day. And also, Johnny Glenn, I was glad to hear from him today. Just keep up the good work. God bless you and keep giving us the scripture and the word. And I'm going to try to walk in that word. Thank
Amen.
You so much. Goodbye.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling in, Carrie. We appreciate you. Carrie is one of our regular callers, and you always appreciate the support and the love. I definitely appreciate all of you who call in to listen on a regular basis. I know that several people listen and they don't want to call in for several reasons, but I definitely do appreciate your love and your support of all the listeners who are on the line today and any day. I definitely appreciate you. I count it an opportunity to be able to speak before you and just expound with the word of God. Before you all, I definitely, you know, it's not something I necessarily deserve, but, you know, God has just given me an opportunity and I'm thankful for it. So, amen. Thank you so much, Carrie, for expounding it and going on with the fruit of the Spirit, because that's how we have to replace those negative thoughts. And that's how we'll end up overcoming, because, you know, as I said before, this is something that we all face. It's something that we all deal with. It's something that we may all go through. And we all know some people, or even if it's us, whether we ever admit it or not, to anyone else, it is something that we all have to deal with from time to time. It's dealing with our flesh and dealing with our emotions. You know, the enemy will come along and try to make you doubt just as soon as God gives you a word and you've made up your mind to run on and put your hand to the plow and get to work in the church. You know, something will happen to make you say, well, I don't know about that preacher over there. Well, I don't know about those people over there. But it's not your concern. It's between you and God. So you have to remember to walk in the Spirit, to remain in the Spirit. Or just as soon as you decide that, you know, I'm going to go back to church and give my life to the Lord, something will happen every time. I don't care if it's car trouble. I don't care, you know, if you were going to ride with somebody else and they couldn't come and get you, you know, whatever the situation is, you know, we have to remember to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm so thankful for all of my callers. So thank you again, Carrie, and for Johnny Glenn calling in earlier. Dr. Dotson, are you still with us?
I am. I'm Amen. Still here.
Amen. Did you have any comments regarding Carrie's statements?
I really was blessed by a statement, and that is the essential answer, because without the fruit of the Spirit, because see, the Bible in Galatians, where you're coming from, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. So we have to make the choice. Which one are we going to go with? Which, you know, we're going to choose love, joy, peace, long-suffering,
right.
goodness, meekness. We're going to choose to walk. God gave us the gift of those fruits. So
That's
he breathed
right.
into us, you know, the breath of life. And then after Christ has redeemed us, we have the ability. So that's what we got to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. I can do this. I can do
that's
this.
Right.
You know, because sometimes we can think we can want to give up. Like I think somebody commented on, Johnny, keep up the good work. Keep it up. You got to keep it up. I can do this. Mm-hmm. So we have to continue to, we have to talk to our own selves, believe it or not. And whether you say it out loud or not, I can do this. Even if in your hearing, the enemy or somebody else or the circumstances surrounding you can make it look like I'm not going to be able to do this or make it. But you know that, well, I am created in the image of God. I'm already accepted, so I don't have to try to be reinvent the wheel. Christ has already done this, so I can do this. I can make it. And
that's right.
I'm so grateful to be with you all, to be able to, and thank God for you. You're a blessing to all of us.
Amen.
And it, I mean, this is just a great work, and so I'm just grateful to God for allowing us to be able to come into His family and be a part of this great family, you know, born again Christians. And
Amen.
And if anybody that's not has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, all you got to do is just, you know, find out, get in church, find out, you know, what it is that you need to do to be taught the word of God and just sit in and listen. But the main thing is to make sure that you know whether or not you have accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and then you'll be able to separate, you know, the works of the flesh from the fruit of the Spirit. Because sometimes people may think that, sometimes people may not even be sure whether or not they're saved. So there's a way for you to know whether or not you're saved, you know. So if you're not sure about it, then you do need to get to church and try to get with somebody that can help you understand about your salvation. Because you got to have an assurance of this. And if you have the assurance of salvation, then you have the ability to live and walk the life that a prophet is, Pamela is speaking of.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Dotson. Now, let me check to make sure. I think we have another caller. I have Angel on line 4, looks like. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Angel. How are you today?
Hey.
Did you have a comment for us?
Pardon?
Did you have a comment for us? Sounds like we have some interruption on the line again. I apologize, y'all. We have okay. Let's mute. Probably need to mute that first line and go ahead back to the caller, Angel. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you have a comment for us today?
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm an avid listener of the show, and I enjoy what you're doing here. But I just wanted to say that from the perspective of, I guess, the young adults and the younger generation, it's good to hear things that are applicable in our lives as well. I know the fruit of the Spirit, it applies to my life, and, you know, I'm getting closer to God every day, but it's so great to hear topics that apply to my life. Because I know sometimes as a young adult, when you're in church or when you talk about God, sometimes you don't really feel like they're talking about you. But some topics just resonate with me personally, and this happens to be one of them.
Hey, man, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, a lot of times when speaking to older adults, we don't necessarily say things that always relate to you all, or we're talking about stuff that you guys consider old and fogey, for instance. But I appreciate you calling to let us know that these are topics that relate to you as well. I thank God for you. Amen. Thank you so much for calling in today. Are you still there? Okay, sounds like she already hung up. Okay, I know that we had some interruption on the line. I hope everybody was able to hear clearly on today. and the message was not distorted. I know that there were some other sounds going on, but I definitely thank God for all of you. So let me go ahead and say this. Negative emotions can rob you of the joys of life. And that's not something that any of us want. We want to be able to live life and be happy. Negative emotions can consume your energy and your peace of mind and steal your joy and steal your presence of life. We want to be able to be present and in the moment in everything that we do. But, you know, after hearing this word on today, you know, I'm believing God that knowing is half the battle. And because you've heard this word on today, you're able to get a better understanding. But we also need to take action. So one of the things that we need to do is actually face the mirror, put ourselves in the mirror against the word of God. Not necessarily a natural mirror, but if that works for you, then that's fine. But see yourself through the word of God and decide not to be a slave to your emotions. Don't let your emotions and your feelings run your day. It's a common phenomenon with human beings, you know, that we can see the reality about ourselves by standing in the natural mirror. But also understand that if you put yourself in front of the word of God and do a comparison, okay, the word of God says I should do this and I'm not doing that, then there you go. You have that understanding. Or the word of God says that I should not be doing this or that. Because we don't want negative emotions like hatred and things of that nature to destroy our peace of mind. You deserve to have a peace of mind. The other thing that we can do is to recall happy moments. Think about these things that are listed in Philippians 4:8. Concentrate on the things that are true. Concentrate on things that are just. Concentrate on the things that are pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, then these are the types of things that you should be thinking about. Surround yourself by people who are more cheerful. Don't forsake the fellowship of the saints. Get to a church. Get involved with a church body, because that's where you should be surrounded by those who are striving for the same goals and running the same race that you are. If you need to start doing some hobbies, start doing some positive things, become more active in the community, but be actively engaged. Don't be idle, because when you sit, when you could be giving your time and energy, it'll give you too much time to think about negative things. It'll give you too much time to start feeling like, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe I wasn't cute enough. Maybe if I had more money. Your mind will start to wander on things that are negative. And this is not what God wants for us. You can pursue meditation. Meditate on the word of God. Exercise your physical body as well as your spiritual body. You have to exercise your faith. But as you meditate on the word of God and you begin to think on the more positive things, you'll see yourself grow. You'll realize that you have grown spiritually. It's not something that happens overnight, but in walking in the spirit, it is something that will develop and you'll notice a difference. Your countenance will change. Other people around you will notice a difference. Read the word on a consistent basis. If you have to put little sticky notes up around your house, post notes to remind yourself, I am called of God. I am the beloved of God. I am chosen. Choose to be happy. Make that decision. Be conscious about your decisions. Praise God, because a grateful heart is a happy heart. Start to be grateful for the things that you already have, because it could have been you that had this issue or that issue, but it was somebody else instead. And put on the whole armor of God, lastly, from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18. This is how we overcome negative emotions. And you make a valiant effort to endure as a good soldier and keep your hands to the gospel plow. Realize that negative emotions affect you in many ways, and you don't always consider them, but walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This has been Eve's Corner. Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to donate, simply click on the donate button on the line, or you can write us at P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236. If you're looking for a good church home in the Jackson area, stop by the Word Full Gospel at 3023 Percy V. Simpson. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and God keep you is my prayer.